Let me pray, and then we will look at these first four verses. Father, as we come before your word, may we come humbly. We ask that you would speak to us, that the Holy Spirit would work in us as we listen to your words, and then we would be shaped and formed into the image of Christ. Father, I know that this world does not need Andrew Schaaf. This world needs Jesus Christ. And Father, it is my desire to look less like me and more like him. And that is my prayer for my dear church family, that our names would be lost and our true identity as followers of Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ, Christians, that would be the identity that people would see. And we would relay to a lost and dying world the life-giving message of the gospel. Father, these are days that the gospel is needed. So place that burden on our heart, our soul, and our mind. Father, reform us this morning and give us a passion for the things that please you. Work with us as we work through this text. Bring out its truth to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we started going through the book of Colossians, and we're not really going to go through the entire book. We went through the first two chapters just as an introduction to kind of get our feet into the situation of the church of Colossae. Paul wrote to them for us to understand, okay, what's going on? Who are these people? What's Paul saying? And there is so much good doctrine in there. In fact, usually what happens when Paul writes his letters, the first part is this doctrine, this deep theology that has to do with great truth about God, about Christ, about salvation. And then he usually moves to talk about practical theology, to talk about how we live this out in our lives. And you'll see him do this in Ephesians, in Romans. You just read the books, and if you're reading and you're half awake, you'll notice it. Because all of a sudden he'll stop talking about doctrine, and he'll all of a sudden start saying, okay, this is what you need to be doing. And I love doctrine, but I think what we need today more than ever, I think what the church needs to hear is what we should be doing. What does God want us to do? And so we went through chapters 1 and 2 to get to chapter 3, which we will start today. The central theme of this book is Jesus Christ. In fact, and I really encourage you to mark up your Bibles, all right? Because it is good, because then when you go back, you'll see this. Christ, that word Christ, is named in first and second chapters, so many times. How many times in those two chapters, and you know, if you look on in your Bible, you know, for me, it's like maybe two pages. How many times is the name of Christ named? How many of you think it's less than five? Now, you have to vote somewhere along the way, okay? So when we get to more than 100 and you're like, that's the last option, I need to vote. Okay, you're going to be, okay, so less than five. How many? Less than five. All right. How about less than 10? Interesting. Okay. Either you're a very timid group or you know the answer, okay? Less than 15. All right, we have a few hands that are less than 20. A few more hands are getting brave, okay? Less than 25. All right, now how many of you have not voted yet? Raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you get the less than 30, okay? All right, so there are 16 times you see the word Christ in those first two chapters. That's just the word Christ. Listen to this, okay? In verses, this is chapter 1, verse 15. This is talking about Christ. Notice these pronouns. He is the image. That's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body. And I'm just going to pause there. Here's some good homework for you to do. I double dog dare you to go home and do this, all right? Go home and just take Colossians 1 and 2. You can take the whole book if you want to. You'll probably get extra points for that. But take the first two chapters and just underline everywhere you see the word Christ, where you see the word Jesus, where you see the word Lord, or anytime you see a pronoun that is talking about Jesus. And I think you will be surprised because your pages will be littered with marks. And do you know what's going to happen? What you can do at the and this is just basic Bible study, okay, that will thrill your hearts. Because sometimes I give you the challenge, let's read through the Bible. And you read through the Bible, you say, okay, that was good. What do I do now? What do I do now to study the Bible in a deeper way? Well, one of the things you can do is just by recognizing words. And so at the first part of the book, you could write all references to Christ are underlined. And then you can just look at the pages and be like, wow. And then ask yourself this question, I wonder what this book is talking about. And you'll quickly know. What does it talk about? It's talking about Christ. It's talking about Christ. Now, when we get to chapter 3, Paul is moving into practical application. But you'll notice that even within these first few verses, these first four verses, Christ is named over and over again because he still is the central theme. Folks, that never changes. The Christian's central theme is Christ. What happens when you take the word Christian and knock a few letters off the end? You're like, let's see. Whoa, hey, look, Christ is actually in that name. You're right. We're called followers of Christ. We're little Christians. Now, let me read the little Christ. Let me read this to you, the first four verses, and then we'll dig into this for a moment. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. All right, so this today, this is about your life. All right, this is about your life, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And there's just three points: the reality of your life, the passion of your life, and the person of your life. Now, I don't care if you remember that. That's fine with me, but maybe that'll help someone stay awake. So that's good, okay? If then you're raised with Christ, here's the reality of your life. Raised with Christ. Raised with Christ. Let me give you another Bible study hint. If you are wondering sometimes when you're reading the Bible, what does this mean? One of the things that can help you is to look other places in the Bible where that same word or phrase is used, and that may shed some light on it. This section one, if you are raised, if then you are raised with Christ, let's see if there's any other place in Colossians that we see that terminology. And I'll give you a hint. Go to chapter 2, verse 12. Now, this would be another good thing to mark in your Bible. If your Bible's not already marked, when you come to chapter 3, verse 1, raised with Christ, you could mark that and say, hey, wake up and look at chapter 2, verse 12. Now, I don't know how much you need to write in your Bible, okay? Maybe just do an arrow. But look at this, and let me start in verse 11 of chapter 2. In him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off of the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, There is the physical act of circumcision that was practiced by the Jews, but God used that as an illustration. Because many times we'll see in the New Testament where he talks about a circumcision that happens to us that's not done with hands. It's not a physical thing, but what has happened is there's been something that's been cut away from us. And that is our old, our body of sins in the flesh, as Paul says here. In verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out all the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. So when Paul says, if then you are raised with Christ, he's referencing what he just talked about. He doesn't need to reiterate everything he's just said, but when he's talking about being raised with Christ, he's talking about their new life in Christ and their union with Christ. And if you don't have a cross reference in your Bible here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, 14, 15, you should mark in your Bible Romans chapter 6. Because that talks so much about our union with Christ. Here is the historical fact. There was a man by the name of Jesus who walked on this earth. And he declared himself to be God. And he demonstrated that he was God by doing miraculous things. And he came to the Jewish people, the people that should have been looking for him because he was the promised one. He was the Redeemer. He was the Isaiah 53 lamb who would take away the sins of not only the Jewish people, but also the world. He came, lived, died. But that death was so different than anybody else's death, because when he was on the cross, as God, as the Son of God, as the Lamb of God, our sin was placed upon him, and he paid for our sin. And he rose from the dead, which was God's stamp of approval, that everything he did was true and right and good. And the gift of salvation is offered to us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Saved from what? The penalty of sin. The eternal penalty of sin. That is what Jesus Christ is offering to us, is offering to the world. And many of you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have seen your sin, and you have said, I believe that Jesus is the Savior. I believe that he is my Savior. And he is the only one that can save me from my sins. And you know, folks, here's a glorious truth. When that happens, you become one with Christ. You are joined with Christ. And so as much as what happened to him will happen to you, he died, you died. He was raised, and you are raised and will be raised. We have this new life in Christ. But you notice the first word of chapter 3? Now, your Bible might not have it as the first word, but what do you have there? What's maybe your first word? If you are raised with Christ. Do you know that not everyone is a child of God? Do you know that not everyone is going to heaven? Everybody likes the idea of heaven. You know, stories, you know, books about heaven. That's great. Because in people's minds, that's great. I want to be there. I want to go there. But that's not where we're headed without Christ. If then you are raised with Christ, only those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ are raised with Christ and have a home in heaven. Is that you? If it is you, then that's the reality of your life. You're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things are becoming new. You have been born again. And this is a glorious life. This is what God created us for. So this is the reality of our life. Since this is the reality of our life, Paul gives us some commands that are to be the passion of our lives. The end of verse 1, and then in verse 2, you have two commands. You have this command seek, and then you have this command set. They may be the same word in your Bible, in your translation. It may say in verse 1, set those things which are above, and then also set in your mind. They may have the same word, but there's actually two different words there. One is seek and one is set. This is the command that Paul is giving to us, looking for something, desiring something, acquiring something, and then also to ponder, to dwell on, to fix one's attention to. What are we to seek and what are we to set our mind on? Well, it says things above. So what are things above, right? You're like, the ceiling? Well, now you're looking at the ceiling, aren't you? Now there's some helps writing within the text. Notice it says, seek those things which are above. And what's the next phrase? Where Christ is. All right, sitting at the right hand of God. Where is Christ right now? Nobody knows. Did we lose him? Where is he? He's sitting at the right hand of God. Where is that? The presence of God. What do we typically call that place? Heaven. That's where Christ is. So what's these things that are above? They're the things that are in heaven. And then also in verse 2, you have a contrast. Set your mind on things above, not on things where? On the earth. On the earth. Heavenly things, godly things, eternal things. These are the things we're supposed to be seeking after, and these are the things we're supposed to be setting our minds on. Not earthly things, not ungodly things, and not temporary things. Now let's get a little bit more specific. What are these things? We said the things in heaven. And this would be a good exercise for you to do at home. What are those things that we're seeking after? Well, let me give you a few things that perhaps will help. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. All right? Those are things above. The kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Set your mind on the kingdom of God. Let me ask you, how often do you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Have you ever heard that before? Is that in the Bible somewhere? How often have you prayed that God's kingdom would come? One day, we will have a righteous king ruling on this planet. I got a few amens, but I thought I'd get a few more. One day we will have a righteous king reigning on this planet. Amen. That's right. Do you ever ponder that? I like to ponder that. Because you know that injustice or crime that's committed, people will not get away with things anymore because you have one who sees everything and knows everything. And he will bring perfect justice down. His kingdom, his righteousness, things that are right. These are, I think, just a little bit earlier on in that chapter, it's talking about laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I think seeking after these things and setting your mind on these things and looking for these things and doing everything you can for these things, that's laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Here's another passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. And Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about how to build on the church. And he said, now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, Each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. What are things that are above? The building of the church of Christ. Those are things that count for all eternity. Do you know that when you pray for one another, that work is not lost? That is something that counts towards eternity. And when we encourage one another, when we help one another, when we practice the gifts that the Spirit has given us towards one another, and the church is being built up, these are things that will go through the fire and they will last for all eternity. Be seeking those things and setting your mind on those things. Even Paul said this to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, "For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" I think that probably the most precious thing of heaven outside of Jesus Christ and that relationship will be the joy and blessing of seeing other people there who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps even more special and precious will be people who we see there who we share the gospel with. Those are things that count for all eternity. We have eternal souls. And those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity with him. Are you seeking lost souls to share the gospel with them? Do you set your mind on that? People's eternal state. Basically, what you know, when you think about these things that are above, what are those things that will be in God's presence? Will your bank account be up there? You're like, that's a tough question. I'm not sure about the answer. No, the answer is no. Your bank account will not be there. But how often do some people seek a fat bank account and set their mind on how to get their bank account fatter? Will our physical homes be up in heaven? I mean, are you going to transfer your home to heaven? What about your car? What about, I mean, the list goes on and on. And you just think about, if you're honest, okay, think about the things that you are pursuing and think about the things that you are actively thinking about, and then ask this question: will those things be in heaven? And folks, if we are spending a lot of our time seeking after things and setting our mind on things that will not be in heaven, that will not count for all eternity, folks, we are spinning our wheels. We are wasting our time. And we have but a few precious moments. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. I've been, you know, thinking about this in the midst of the virus. You know, one of the things I've loved during this whole time is to be bringing direct application to where we're living right now and what's going on. There's a lot of things that people are thinking about during this virus, right? There's a lot of things, well, maybe people aren't thinking. Maybe there's some not thinking going on. But there's thinking going on as well. And one of the things is that some people are afraid of dying. If I get the virus, I'm going to die. And so they think about that. They think about that. They think about that. But we as Christians, what do we think about? You know, when you see, okay, these are the people that have died because of the virus. And I know there's questions out there about all that, but some people have died from the virus. What's your thoughts about that? Well, do you know what the believer thinks? I wonder if they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what the believer thinks. And then do you know what the believer seeks after, the Christian seeks after? I wonder how I can share the gospel with other people just in case they might get the virus and die. That's the believer. I love America. I'm so thankful for our country. We have a history that has been moved by providence. We have freedoms that are unparalleled to the world. And we have a great. But if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then hear this. You are a citizen of heaven before you are a citizen of America. You are a Christian first and American second. And we need to be our thoughts more than about our freedoms and our rights. We need to be about our Savior and His gospel. Are we really seeking and thinking about the things that we should be? When Jesus Christ was on this earth, this is to give you an example, because even the best amongst us can fail at this. When Jesus was on the earth and he was telling his disciples about his impending death, it says this in Matthew 16:21-23. He began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine? Rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, do you know what's right before this? What declaration has Peter said right before this? Yes, exactly. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, the amazing declaration. But then the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Far be it from you, Lord." This is what Peter says. "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." The Lord turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are offensive to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Peter was looking at this earth and the temporary, and he got sidetracked. Another passage is Philippians 3:17-20, where Paul says, "Join my example and note those who so walk, as you have for us a pattern, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." These are men, women that walked with Paul, worked alongside with Paul. And Paul says with tears, they're no longer following Christ. Why? Because they have set their mind on earthly things. And then he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That is our homeland, heaven and being with Christ. Warren Wiersbe said this, "Our feet must be on earth, but our minds must be in heaven. It means that the practical everyday affairs of life get their direction from Christ in heaven. It means further that we look at earth from heaven's point of view. Seeking and setting our heart and our minds on those things that are above. Really, I wish we had glasses. All right, you could put glasses on, and when you looked at everything, it would be looking at everything from God's point of view. You see people like that. When you see someone sitting on the side of the road holding a sign that says homeless, what do you think? There's a lot of things that go through my mind. I'm like, why are you homeless? What's going on? How much money have you gotten today already? What's in your backpack? I mean, all these things are going through my mind, but you know what should be going through my mind? As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, what should be going through my mind is, does that person know Jesus Christ as their Savior? And folks, that's where we need to be. But we need to be that with everything, not only when we look at people, but when we look at finances, when we look at the decisions we make in life, when we look at the things that we pursue. Will this bring glory to God? Will this count for eternity? Here's the last point in verses 3 and 4, the person of your life. The person of your life is Christ. Why is all this true of us? Why are we seeking these things that are above? Why are we setting our mind on these things above? Because our life is now Christ. It says here, you died. And if you were to take your pulse, you would say, wait a minute, I'm still alive? Maybe barely, but I'm still alive. You died. And when Paul says that, he's talking about our old person, our old life, our old pursuits, our old desires. We have become new. That everything that was on the other side of the cross, that's all old now to us. That's all foreign to us now. Now we have a new life. We've died. And now our life is Christ. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life. When someone asks you, what's the point of your life? Do you know what the right answer is if you're a Christian? And if someone asks you, what's the goal of your life? If you're a Christian, do you know the right answer? Christ. Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. My life is Christ now. And that's the believer. And our life is hidden with Christ in God. And I think that's talking about our security, how precious this is, this new life. It will not be lost. And there is a day when we will appear in glory with Christ. There's a day coming. Jesus Christ is coming back. I believe that with all my heart, soul, and mind, with everything that I am. He is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again, receive you unto myself. He's coming back. I don't know when, but I think it could be at any time. It could be soon. There is a day quickly coming where my life is coming back. My Christ is coming back. And when he appears, when I see him, when he is revealed, he will take me home to be with him in glory. That's a soon coming day. Let me ask you two questions. Are you in Christ? Have you had your sins forgiven? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, if you got the virus and died today, if you got in a car accident on the way home, if you slipped and fell somewhere, I don't know, on a banana peel, and you died, I mean, I'm sure it's happened. Do you know that if you were to die, that moment that you breathe your last, you would go be with Christ? Do you know that for sure? Because folks, that is the number one and most important thing that you must know. And if you have believed, if you would say, I'm a Christian, let me ask you this. Are you seeking those things that are above? Do you desire those things which are above? And have you set your heart on them? It's time for Christians to no longer be worldly Christians, but to be godly Christians. Let's pray. Father, help us in the days ahead. Help us to move, Father, from being so concerned about earthly things to being concerned about heavenly things. Father, give us your mind and your heart. When we see this world, when we see people without Christ who are dying, may it tear us apart. May it bring us to tears. And Father, may it move us to be bold, to share with lost people, dying people, the glorious gospel, the news of life. Father, forgive us for spending so much time seeking after things that don't matter. Father, forgive us for spending so much time setting our minds on things that don't matter. I pray for everyone here, including myself, that there will be a renewal of our hearts, that there would be a reformation in our hearts, that there would be a change today. And we would leave this place and leave from this being in this time in your word, and we would say, I'm going to be a different Christian. I'm going to be a different follower of Christ. I'm going to stop riding the fence and I'm going to throw it all in while I have breath in my body so that when I get to heaven, I won't have any regrets. Father, may this be the heart of your people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.